I've been all across this country.
Okie dokie, folks, and welcome to this week's edition of Monday Night Shaw. On the show this week, I have Jordan Aries. Jordan, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty fine. Thanks for having me on the show tonight.
Yeah, no, it's a long time overdue. Yeah. Jordan, for those of you that don't know, actually came up with the name for Monday Night Shaw. And that's when I first launched the podcast. I was taking suggestions, and he put up Monday Night Shaw, and I was like, oh, yeah, there's no need to keep looking. So that's the name of the show. And now after two years and a few days, you're finally a guest.
Yeah. Well, I like to be fashionably late, so makes sense.
So how have you been doing, bud?
I've been doing pretty good. I haven't been at the shows recently, so you and me haven't really had a chance to catch up. But that's because I've been taking a step away, focusing more on training and actually helping out at the school that just opened up here in Calgary.
Solid. I mean, I did see you last week. You wrestled against Cameron last week, right?
Yeah, Cam actually came back into town to pick up some stuff and surprise me.
Yeah, and he had a hell of a match with Heavy Metal the next night, too.
Oh, yeah, he's just made strides in his progress over the past few years. Or the past year being out there, but, like, it's a huge difference from the years I've known him.
I think Cameron is, like, one of the most chill dudes, very easy to get along with. I consider him a good friend. I'd like to wrestle him at some point, for sure.
Yeah, me and him have great chemistry, and I've just noticed that with almost anyone he gets in the ring to, is he just flows.
Yeah, he's very good. The show's not about him today, though. It is. Nope. It's all about you. Who did you wrestle the next night after you wrestled Cameron?
I wrestled Coda in Edmonton.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, we had a nice little fun match out there, and we actually managed to get some fans who had never been to the show before out to see it, and they loved it, so that was amazing. They'll definitely be back to the next one.
That's good. That's awesome. We had a good crowd last night.
If you don't mind me asking, how did the show go last night?
I thought it went pretty well. You know, I didn't get to see much of the rest of the show, but our match was good. I figure. I mean, all the the people were making a lot of noise for it, so you know, I had fun. I took a hell of an ass whooping. It was me and Barricade against Dean Richter and Sean Martins for the tag belts, and they smoked Barricade with a belt at the end of it. He's got the cheap shot win there, so it's not over yet, though. Me and Barricade are going to team up again, and it's going to be fun.
Well, I hope you guys get it.
And then we had the fans bring the weapons cage match, which was...
How did that one go? Really upset that I missed that one.
Well, I didn't see it much of it, like I say, because I was recovering from my match, but I went and helped clean up afterwards, and there was a heck of a mess there, and it sounded like, from what I heard, it was good, so...
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
I mean, if fans bring the weapons cage match, it's not something you see every day, you know?
No, that's definitely a special thing you don't want to miss.
And then
why I'm so upset I missed it.
Yeah, and then we had, there was another wrestling show. CWE was doing St. Albert the same night, so, only, half hour away, right? So I was kind of worried that we wouldn't have that many fans there, but apparently both shows did well, which makes me really happy.
Yeah. A win for wrestling in general makes me happy.
Yeah, 100%. So you mentioned off the top that you are you're down training at the school there in Calgary, the Alberta Wrestling Academy, eh?
Yeah, AWA. We opened up at the start of October, and I'm actually the amateur wrestling coach there. And for the time being, we don't really have anyone training in that style. So I'm just the one-off trainer on free days.
Oh, okay. So how do you incorporate amateur wrestling into professional wrestling? Is that what I'm assuming what you're trying to teach people, right?
That's what my whole program is kind of built around, is the basics and fundamentals of amateur Olympic style wrestling and how it ties into professional wrestling. Like in amateur, it's really physical and intense on the body. and you're physically trying to pin your opponent's shoulders to the mat in the same way. So we teach people proper footwork, proper body handling, how to throw yourself and how to throw your opponents in a way that keeps them protected. And all of those aspects tie over to professional wrestling as well.
Okay, so do you guys kind of like when you're doing this stuff, do you do sort of like a sort of a shooty type drills and stuff? Like sort of like more of a shoot style as opposed to, you know, somebody locks on a hold and then they give you the Iggy and you reverse it and...
Yeah, it's more of a both guys go out there with their plan and then they both try to execute their plan.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, so, and my partner who's actually helping me, he came all throughout high school with me and did all of the same wrestling I did. And then after high school, I focused more on a training, learning more knowledge, focusing more on the coaching side of it. And he focused more on the continuing to pursue it, going to tournaments, winning medals kind of thing.
Yeah.
So with him and me, we both have the same mindset, but very different worldviews on it.
Okay. That's Ryan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so does he have any actual professional experience? Like, has he had any pro wrestling matches?
No, he hasn't had any real professional wrestling training, I guess, besides getting in the ring with the guys when we're there.
Okay. So he's doing that now.
He's just mainly there. Yeah. He's coming in and off when we're there. But the biggest thing with amateur after high school is in this city, there isn't much for just continuing that. So we want to give people a safe space to be able to come and just practice their wrestling.
Okay. I saw some pictures from the school, and it looks like they have two rings, and one has no rope set up. Is that like your amateur ring?
Yep. That's our basic and beginner's ring where they practice their tumbling and their rolls and their basic bumping. And then with how close it is to the ground, it actually helps a lot for our catch wrestling. So we just practice in there.
Okay, cool. And how many students are you training typically on any given day?
The most we've had at one time, I'd say, would be close to 15, 20.
Okay.
With the least amount being around 5 on more of a quieter, privater day.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. That's a very wide range for sure.
Yeah, we do have set training schedules, like Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday are actual training days, Sundays being alternating, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday is kind of like the other coaches are in today, go and work with them on some stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I'm currently enrolled in Top Talent Wrestling Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's pretty much just every day you go and either Heavy Metal is there to teach or Michael Richard Blaze is. And then, you know, once in a blue moon, like somebody, Red Thunder Show was there once. That was cool. So, like, you get a lot of different perspectives from everybody that you're in the ring with. Who are some of the other trainers at the Academy, in case people didn't listen last week and tune into the podcast with Vinny Fever?
Well, we have him himself as one of our trainers. We also have Ed Anderson, a.k.a. Renegade Kid. We have Bryce the Slammer Sova, who pops by occasionally to help out. We've had Matt Hart and D. Dwight Davis, both on separate occasions, pop by. One of our other coaches, Steve Wild, and Steve Rivers is going to pop by as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, those are some very experienced guys, for sure.
Yeah.
People are going to be getting a good education down there. What do you think is like... what's your favorite part about being involved in the whole wrestling training center?
My favorite part. That's a tough one because there's just so much I love about this sport and just giving back to it. But I think it would just be getting in there with everybody and hearing their stories.
Yeah.
Because, I believe that everybody deserves to be able to at least step through those ropes and give it a try. And just to, not everyone's going to come in here with the same athletic background, come in at the same time with the same age and the same experience. And everyone's going to have their different stories of why they fell in love with wrestling or what their favorite matches are, or what they want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And I just want to help those people live their dreams and hear their stories.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds pretty awesome, buddy. What about you? Like, let's talk about where you originally trained for wrestling. Okay. When did you start wrestling, and where did you go to train and whatnot? I know the answer to this question, by the way, but for the sake of the podcast.
I started training at the age of 19, 1 year out of high school, at the Storm Wrestling Academy here in Calgary, Alberta, back when it was still up and running. Mm-hmm. And I had a really amazing class, a lot of great guys. I still talk to a bunch of them today. Tag teamed with a few of them in a few one-off matches.
Is there can you give us any names of who we might recognize that was also in your class?
Kid Chocolate, he was in my class. He's still around here today. The Swiss rock star Kurt Simmons down in Switzerland and all over Europe. I think those are really the only two still active going. The other guys are still involved here and there, but, you know, not everyone sticks with it.
Yeah, that's fair. And now, what was it like to learn from Lance Storm?
Well, I still utilize a lot of what I learned from him in my training today. So it was definitely good training that stuck with me. And I feel like to learn the basic, there was no one better to go to.
Yeah. And was he like cool to get along with and stuff?
Yeah, he was really, really chill. He did say that the difference between him as a person and him as Lance Storm on TV was just Lance Storm meant everything he said, whereas he just was joking.
Oh, okay. And what's your favorite memory from going to Lance's training center?
Well, there was definitely a lot of boys being boys kind of moments. Lance Storm actually owned a house that the out-of-town guys stayed in. So we would hold pay-per-view parties there, and it was just general rowdy nonsense, you know, a bunch of wrestlers hanging out, watching pay-per-views and stuff. A lot of inside jokes and just fun personal moments that I'm going to hold to my heart.
Right on, bud. And so when did you actually make your pro debut, and who did you end up wrestling in your first match?
After I finished my training in May of 2017, it was probably August that I made my debut in Edmonton. Against Merc, the Universe Zach Mercury.
Oh, okay. He's got a very similar build to the last match you had.
Yeah, yeah. It was actually a really fun parallel because I haven't been to Edmonton in over a year. So to come back, it just felt like I was in a completely different, like, twilight zone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Besides, like, Edmonton and Calgary, what are some other very interesting places that you've wrestled in?
I've wrestled in, let's see, all across Alberta, Vegreville, Springbrook, Medicine Hat, little more one-off shows, Brooks, places like that.
Were you in the show in Onway where we did the show in the barn?
No, I missed that one.
Oh, that was a fun one.
I was very upset when I heard it was in a barn.
Yeah, it was really great. It was like a big industrial barn. So it wasn't like, you know, it's not like a red wooden barn. It was like a big industrial barn.
I was picturing big red wooden barn.
No, but there was a dirt floor. The floor was made of dirt, and the ring was just set up on this dirt floor. And there was a farming tractor, backhoe thing, and Epic Eddie and Heavy Metal ended up using the tractor during their last man standing match.
I remember that. I remember seeing video of that. That was a really entertaining show.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. I didn't actually wrestle that night. I don't know if I was had begun my training yet, but I ring announced it, and I had a heck of a good time at that one.
We've also gone up to Winnipeg, done a few shots out there with CWE. I went to Montreal, wrestled out in Montreal for a little bit and did some training out there at the Torture Chamber.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
What was
I've
that
done.
like?
Oh, it was completely different. I've done a bunch of different wrestling seminars and training camps with a bunch of different people, but none of them under the name of dojo, and it was definitely a much more intense physical training style.
Oh, okay.
The
Who were
conditioning.
the trainers?
So Drew Onyx was one of the trainers out there. He was the main guy that I worked with. I spent about a month worth of time out there, just within the weeks that I would fly out there and then come home. And I really enjoyed working with them. I didn't get to know them too personally from the time that I spent, but from being out there, I could tell that they had a really close personal family connection between them and all the trainers, and I really enjoyed just being a part of that environment.
Yeah, did you wrestle any shows out there?
Yeah, I wrestled one show while I was out there, and the rest of it was just training. The language barrier was not as big as I thought it was going to be, and I was still able to like connect and communicate with a good chunk of the fans out there.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's Quebec, right? So like half of them speak English and half of them speak French, right?
Yeah, and of course, being like announced from a different part of Canada, I was the bad guy.
Oh.
But yeah, it was fun. It was fine. I loved it, and I definitely want to go back out there and see all of them again.
Did you face off with Drew Onyx? Is that who you wrestled?
No, I just wrestled one of the other trainees down there that I had been training with throughout the week.
Okay, solid.
I can't remember what his in-ring name is, unfortunately, but we definitely worked on like a lot of good technical work. And I could tell that the training that they're getting down there is good quality training.
Yeah, that's good. That's excellent, man. I heard your trip to Winnipeg was a bit of a clusterfuck.
So it ended up being me, Strife, and Cameron Stevens, that ended up driving down there. And the first leg of the trip was really good. We listened to Talk Is Jericho, wrestling themes. Shot the shit, got junk food, had a good time.
Did you guys listen to Monday Night Raw?
So it was a really good time. And about 5 minutes out of Winnipeg, I speed up to pass a semi truck that's going like 20 under the speed limit in front of me. And I get hit by a cop with a speeding ticket.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And like I just basically gunned it. We were 5 minutes out of the city. We wanted to get there. We were traveling like 14 hours, and it was a big one, and it sucked. So that kind of took the wind under our sails, but we were so close, and we were ready to just unpack our stuff and relax the rest of the night. 30 seconds away from the place we're spending the night, we get the phone call that Stan Hansen, the person we were driving out to go see, had to unfortunately cancel his flight, and he wasn't going to make it.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, but it's okay. They had a replacement fly in, and it was Lance Storm.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
So,
so very lucky for Cam, who hadn't had a Lance Storm seminar before. We had to go to the venue, set up the ring. Listen to Lance Storm talk for a bit, then tear down the ring, set it up in the next venue, and then we wrestled a show that night. And honestly, that was probably the worst match I've ever had.
who did you face?
I wrestled La Sombra.
Oh,
I'm not sure
wow.
if he not by name. I'm not sure if he's still active
Isn't La
anymore.
Sombra like a super famous Mexican wrestler?
Not this one. This was a different guy because when I got told my match, I Googled him and I was super excited. I was like, oh my God, how did they get him here? You know, I get to fight the La Sombra. And I get to the show and it's not him.
Fair enough.
And he told me he was a huge fan of Lance Storm. And I was like, oh, that was amazing. I trained with him. I can run a perfect Lance Storm match with you. Can you do any chain wrestling? And he said, no. And I said, okay, well, you're wearing a mask. Can you do any lucha wrestling? No. Okay. Well, I see you're also wearing amateur boots like me. Can you do some amateur wrestling? Oh, yeah, I know a little bit of that. Okay, so let's work that into our match a little bit. We had our match plan out there. It was like a 5-minute opener. And then my music hits. I go out there and I'm working heel for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately drop the ball on all of it. The fans are not having any of what I'm saying. They're, the entire audience was like our top talent section in Calgary.
So, like, they were cheering you because you were...
Kind of.
So except you're the bad guy, but you were just not getting the desired reaction?
And then when I got on the mic to try to get the desired reaction, it didn't work at all.
Oh.
And Le Sombre was still lacing up his boots, so I had to talk on the mic for about 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
So 10 minutes into our 5-minute match, Le Sombre's music hits and he hits the ring. And basically scoops a double leg on me and we just start a shoot fight.
Oh.
And like I'm confused and scared at this point because like I'm going into fight or flight mode. I'm defending myself. I'm an amateur wrestler and this is what I do.
Okay.
And I keep snapping back and forth from like, okay, flip him over to pin him to, oh wait, you can't actually pin him. And it was just a really awkward back and forth roll around the mat. And then when I finally created some space and was like ready to start turning this into a real professional wrestling match, 15 minutes into our 5-minute opener, he has a seizure.
Oh, that's not good.
He asks me to throw him out of the ring. So I throw him out of the ring and we wrestle around the outside for a little bit. He ends up throwing me into a table, knocking over someone's drink, climbing up on another table, grabbing someone's drink and pouring it on me, and then hitting me with a frog splash and throwing me over top of another table.
So your 5-minute little amateur open match has now turned into a fucking hardcore war out in the crowd with tables and chairs and...
Oh. Yeah, and I actually got a bunch of heat later on. Because the fans got hot that their drinks that they paid for got spilled.
Oh, well, I don't know what to tell you about that. Like, yeah, I probably shouldn't mess with people's food. I made the heel mistake once of I was working as a heel. This doesn't happen very often, but it was a rare. And I just like went up to somebody in the crowd and I like they had their little plate of French fries in their hand and I just like knocked their hand and the French fries went everywhere. And then I was told afterwards, hey, don't mess with people's food. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. That's probably for the best.
If you're going to do it, like, send them over a plate of fries after, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But so we get back into the ring, and our spot's supposed to be a bunch of Germans. I hit him with some, he blocks it, and then he hits me with the big ones. So I give him one, and he completely deadweights me. So I'm like, okay, I expect the next one to be dead weight. And he jumped up so high on this one.
Oh,
so
no.
Then the third one, I go for it, and he blocks it, ducks under, goes behind, and gives me one. And I jump up, and he dumps me right on my head. He gives me nothing. So I'm like, okay, maybe I need to jump a little bit higher. I jump a little bit higher, and again, he gives me nothing. So then the third one, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to bump myself on this one since he's not giving me anything. And I jump as hard and as high as I can. And he decides to actually throw me on this one.
Oh.
So I go straight up and I come straight down on the back of my head.
This sounds like it was not a fun night for you.
This was my first concussion of the match.
Oh. And that occurred, what, 25 minutes into your 5-minute opener?
Yeah. And we're about 5 minutes away from the end. So we roll around for about another minute or two. I hit a big move, hype up the crowd, and he's supposed to cut me off with a roundhouse, which fully connects on the side of my temple and gives me my second concussion of the night.
Oh no.
So I drop down and I just call for him to go for the finish. He climbs up top and goes for a diving headbutt, and the ceiling is about 2 feet below him when he dives and hits his head off of a ceiling fan, hits me, pins me, and I just roll out of the ring and roll to the back. And I immediately had a drink, took some medicine, took a nap, everything you're not supposed to do when you're concussed, and then we drove home.
Oh, boy.
And we were convinced that somehow heavy metal had something to do with everything involved in that trip, because he convinced us so hard to go on this trip. And I don't know how he did it, but he got the police there waiting for me to give me the ticket. He called Stan Hansen and got him to cancel. He called La Sombra and got him to do this. And then he called Mother Nature, and he got Mother Nature to give us a blizzard on the way home.
Jeez.
I don't know how he did it, but I just think he did.
Didn't you end up locked in the bathroom or something?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was another part of the story. Before the show, we had to go get food. And we went to a Taco Bell. And
oh, it was a Taco Bell bathroom. Oh, you poor yeah. guy.
So the door was like a little wonky when I was trying to get in there, and I didn't want anyone to come in. So I like kind of forced it to lock. And then after I was done, the toilet got plugged, and I started to freak out looking for a plunger, and I couldn't see one. And so I tried to unlock the door and open it, but the lock was stuck and it just wouldn't budge at all. So I like kind of went back and forth, like the water's seeping underneath the door, so I can't crawl under. What do I do now? And I end up breaking the door off the hinges and just kind of like walking around looking for a plunger.
That's gotta be Kane. It's Kane. It's gotta be Kane.
I found a plunger underneath the sink, and when I turned around to fix the toilet, it unclogged itself, and the mess basically disappeared through the drain in the floor. So now I'm standing in a taco room bathroom with a sideways door and a toilet plunger, and I just kind of throw it into the corner, walk out, tell the boys we have to go, and then we dip.
Was that metal's fault as well?
Probably.
Jeez.
We tried to go to the gym, and all of the gyms were closed. We tried to go to Walmart, and we couldn't find any belts or blankets to sleep in the car. Like, it was terrible.
It sounds like it was a fun adventure, though. Like,
oh, yeah. It was honestly the best wrestling road trip I think I've had to date. Just from the sheer story I got from it.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. I remember when me and you and Cam, we would ride together. And when we were leaving Edmonton that one time, and we were blasting the Scott Steiner entrance music. Like at the like as high as your stereo yeah. would go, with the windows down and shit. People are like, because the Steiner music is all like ambulance horns and sirens and stuff. And
people were pulling over and moving out of the way as we're going 140 down Deerfoot.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think outside of Pinoca or something, you ended up getting a speeding ticket for that as well. And yeah. Well, not because we were blasting the music, but because you were driving too fast. And then the police is walking from his car up to our car, and Cameron's playing the Big Boss Man's entrance music on the stereo.
He actually let us off with lowering the ticket by 20 kilometers because we were tired wrestlers and really nice.
Oh, that's very friendly of him.
Yeah. I also remember one Edmonton show. I think, who was it? Someone was playing a really big concert in Edmonton that night. It was like Kanye or Little John or something.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah.
And
we went for pizza or something, didn't we?
We drove past the event center just trying to promote the next show, yelling at all the drunk teens coming out of the concert. Ended up going to the pizza parlor across the street from the concert venue, where a bunch of drunk girls had ordered basically a full pizza, taken a bite of one of the slices, and then left the pizza. And we were just kind of sitting there like, well, we all got paid tonight, but do we really want to spend it on pizza? And then we just like waited 10 minutes. They never came back, so we took the pizza and went.
Those are the like some of the best times in wrestling. It's not even like when you're in the building, but just like traveling with the fellas.
Yeah, and whatnot,
you know,
have you having the stuff, having the stuffed cars, everyone's bag in the back, and you're sleeping on top of all the bags.
Oh, that happened once or twice. Yeah, to me, you know. Yeah, yeah, okay, you could come with us, Kyle. Oh, no, you won't have to be the one in the trunk, Kyle. Yeah, sorry, Kyle.
Hey, I was always up front with you having to be the one in the trunk.
It was fine, though. We, you know, we did what we had to do, and we had a lot of fun. Yeah, no,
You're the only one that got to lay down.
I was fine with it too, because more often than not, I felt like, you know, you guys were wrestling and I was announcing, so you guys should be more comfortable than I need to be at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you're definitely backseat material now, Kyle.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Have you ever had the pleasure to drive with the Viking Lord?
Oh, no, I haven't, not yet.
No? Oh, wait till you get to do that. It's fun.
I've heard lots of stories.
Yeah, he tells all kinds of great stories. Yeah. One of them led to me and Squig having a Baconator on a pole match.
I want to hear the story behind that, because I saw the match and I loved it.
Oh, well, like I say, like I was picking up Vince, and he was telling me all about how he rode with Squig one time, and they stopped at the Wendy's, and Squig got a Baconator with double bacon on it and whatnot, and he was just like, double bacon, Kyle. Like, I was like, okay. So I started calling Squig the human Baconator in promos. And I would do this, like, every time I cut a promo when I was wrestling him or whatever, I'd call him the human Baconator, and everybody would pop, right? So eventually I was like, hey, well, what if I chat? Because we were doing an angle where I had to wrestle Vince, Dead Zone, and Squig. And then So when it came time to do the match with Squig, I was like, well, what if I challenge you to a Baconator on a pole match? And he was like, yeah, okay, sure. And I confirmed it with him like four times. We went out, we did our match, and at the end of it, I challenged him to the Baconator on a pole match, and he agreed to it. And then I walked through the curtain, he's like, Kyle, I can't believe you shot that Baconator on a pole thing on me. I was like, I asked you about that four times.
I actually have a Wendy's story from back in high school, not wrestling related in the slightest.
Yeah.
But when Jurassic World came out, Wendy's had a mini promotion where they had this thing called the T-Rex burger that you could get custom made. And it was basically a triple Baconator with 9 patties, 9 slices of cheese, like 9 pieces of bacon. And it was a fat ass sandwich you had to eat. And so I told my friends about this, and like 4 of us went to Wendy's one day to do it, but only like me and one other kid ended up doing it.
How much did this thing cost? It sounds like it's like a $45 burger.
Oh, yeah. It was like a $25, $30 burger. But like, we didn't care because we were dumb and in high school.
Yeah.
So we both get the burgers and we're sitting there and we're going through it. And this kid was, he was a stick.
Okay.
Like, tall, lanky, skinny, nothing on him. I made it about halfway through this burger, and like I was chugging, like I knew I wasn't going to be able to finish it, and I could see the look on his face that he was at the same point I was. But it was fine because I was ready to stop, and I stopped, but he kept going. And I remember just the sheer look of horror on everyone's face when he finally got the entire thing down, because this whole thing stacked like a foot high. And he was so proud of himself for about 5 seconds. Then the meat hit him, the cheese clogged his arteries, the bacon stopped his heart, like the grease just seeped into his bloodstream, and we basically put him into a meat coma for the next 2 days.
Oh my God.
Like, he was just so low on energy. He we got him back to school and he fell asleep in math class.
That's incredible.
And yeah, he actually got the nickname T-Rex after that for the remainder of high school.
That's great. I love it. T-Rex.
So like, and like it picked up. So like everyone started calling him that, but only if you were within that select group of people, did you really know the reason why.
Just walks in the room and you're like, da, 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 da. Oh boy.
I wonder what he's doing now.
He sounds like he might be dead.
He had a really broken down pickup truck that he brought to school, and he had hollowed out part of his dashboard and put an old CRTV in there, hooked up a PlayStation to a car battery, and just played PlayStation in his pickup truck.
He's probably got a YouTube show called Redneck Gaming.
Oh, I can only wish.
Well, we're playing Crash Bandicoot out here in the bushes these weeks, you know? Jesus. That's amazing, Jordan.
Yeah, high school is a fun time.
Yeah, so do you have any word on when your next show is going to be?
The next show, I believe, is going to be November 28th.
That's the one in Red Deer, right?
Yeah, November 28th in Red Deer.
Solid.
That's going to be a really killer show. Like I mentioned earlier, we have a bit of a women's division starting up. And through the school, we're training some women, so hopefully we can get them on that show. I know they're really excited about all the training they're getting, and they're really eager to get out there and show everyone what they can do.
Yeah. Is anybody getting to the point where they're going to be ready to do matches and stuff? Everybody should be there by then?
Possibly, but again, we're focusing on the training they know, like, they need to get trained, and they're just excited, and they're willing to sit down and wait for their spot and just keep putting in the effort, and each day I just see them growing and growing.
Well, that's great, man. Have you guys started doing like training matches or anything?
Most of them actually just started training last week.
Oh, okay. So you're still learning all the moves and stuff.
Only been open officially for about a month now. But some of our students are definitely at that point. Like, we had the Battle Royal this weekend. And we had four of our students in the Battle Royal there. And we're so proud of them. They all did an amazing job.
Nice. Yeah. Was that who were the students that were in the Battle Royal?
So we had Skylar.
Oh, okay. I like Skylar. He's a good
Brian, dude. Braden, and David, I believe. Or Davey.
Is one of those fella the virus guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had the virus in there. And me and Cam had our lumberjack match. We had one of the Wolfpack football guys in there. He started training with us.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm just really excited for all of the potential talent that I see coming through the doors, and everyone's just picking it up like naturals.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, I'm glad that we actually got around to doing this. It has been a very long time coming, and I still, me and you, we were involved in how many matches have we had together? Just one?
Four. No, I think we've been together in a good two or three of them, I think. Was it just the one multi-man match?
Yeah, I'm thinking the only one I can think of is the five-way with me and you and
Tyson
and Bryce and Dwight.
Yeah.
That was a fun match. That's one of my favorite matches.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. I think that one actually in our Friday Night Fights promo video, two clips from our match made it into that video, and both of the clips are me getting dropped on my head.
Oh, right. Yes. Oh, that was the night that we did the, me and Tyson did the cool Sister Abigail with the super kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a cool move.
Yeah.
I'm always like trying to like, I'm very happy that that went over as well as it did. Sometimes the Sister Abigail can be difficult to do on people.
Yeah.
Especially folks that are like a little larger or heavier.
Yeah, larger and like bigger dudes, it's harder for them to get in their back bent like that.
Yeah, you kind of have to bend over backwards a bit. And then if you do it too much, then you run the risk of just falling backward and looking really bad. Because I'm just talking about that particular match with that spot. The next night I wanted to do it in Edmonton, Sister Abigail super kick combination, but I was with Dead Zone instead of Tyson. And I explained it to Dead Zone, and he went for a spin kick instead and kind of like axe kicked the guy. And like, so I had no choice, but like just to like put the guy down on his back and didn't spin out into Sister Abigail at all. I was like, oh, I'm going to have to be more specific next time I explain that, because that was not the desired effect there. But oh well, you know. But yeah, I just, like I say, I wanted to thank you again for coming on the show today. Is there any do you give out the information for the social media plugs? Dang, I'm stutter mouth today.
So I am on Instagram at @Joe_CoolJ. That's JO_COOLJ. I'm also on Facebook at Jordan Gady. Just my normal name. And then the Wrestling Academy is Alberta Wrestling Academy on Instagram and Facebook. Really easy to locate. Just shoot us a message on Facebook, Instagram, give us a call. You can find us on Google too, and come on, stop by.
Solid. And yeah, hopefully one of these days when I get back out to Calgary, I'll be able to come and check it out, roll around for a little while. Yeah.
Even if you manage to make it down before a show on a Friday night or something, we're really close to the downtown venue, like 10 minutes away from it.
Oh, really?
And we're actually right beside a train station, too, just up the street from there.
Solid.
So if anyone wants to come by, we're super easy to transit to. We're currently located at the gym. It's a gym in Calgary. But we're going to be moving next door to our own building and opening up our own performance center in a much bigger facility.
Yeah, the only thing I did notice when I saw the pictures was that the ceiling looks a little low for, like, it looks like you probably aren't practicing like moonsaults and stuff.
Well, actually, we do have a crash pad there, and with our other ring, we're able to practice stuff from the ring to the floor with the crash pad.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, so we do have a little bit of training for that, but once we move into the new facility, again, right next door to the gym, so basically the exact same address, we're going to have a much higher ceiling, and everything's just going to skyrocket even higher from there.
Right on, right on. Well, I am very glad to hear that things are on the upturn for you.
Thank you.
2020 has been a rough year. But, you know, never, honestly, never give up, never surrender, you know?
Honestly, as terrible as it has been for everybody, it's been amazing to me. And I've been so thankful for the amazing opportunities that I've gotten out of this year.
I would agree with that for sure. I mean, I could have done without, you know, sustaining a groin injury and crashing my car and, you know, having to spend 3 months of my life locked up inside my house, but overall it's been I'm the idea that we are still like allowed to do wrestling shows is crazy, so I should just be grateful that, you know, every Saturday night I get to go
I'm
to Edmonton
so grateful
and put on the feathers
that once a week, twice a week, we get to give people a chance to stop focusing on all the negative crazy politics and social media stuff happening in the world right now, and they can just shut off and be entertained for a night.
100%, bud. Well, I think we're going to end it there because we've been trying to wrap this show up now for about 15 minutes. We're 15 minutes into our 5-minute wrap up. So, thank you so much for coming on the show, Jordan, and we'll definitely do it again. Okay, bud?
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do this again. This was really fun.
Okay, solid. And I will see you. I'll see you later.
Yeah, you have yourself a wonderful night.
Okie dokie, buddy.